Many years ago, I worked with a woman named Connie Green. Connie was well past retirement age, but continued to work. Maybe she needed the money. Maybe she was just bored at home. Maybe she was Norwegian, didn't know any better. Turns out Connie was Norwegian, a proud Norwegian. She ate lutefisk. She knew all the Sven and Ole jokes. She wore beautiful sweaters. When she discovered that I was of mostly Norwegian descent, she decided I was okay. Yeah, sure, you betcha. When I think of Connie, though, the thing I remember most clearly is a story she told me. Connie had in her possession the diary of her mother's sister, who with her husband immigrated from Norway and settled on the plains of North Dakota in 1917. Like many immigrants, upon their arrival, they secured farmland and built a house out of sod. But that first winter, the winter of 1918, was harsh, and there was a flu epidemic. Three of their eight children died. I wondered how those parents survived such a tragedy without losing their minds to grief. And I wondered what made them do it in the first place. Leave their homes and travel across an ocean with seven or eight children to start a new life in a completely strange land. What makes people do that? The answer is hope. Hope inspires us to be bold. Hope consoles us through the worst tragedies. Hope is a most valuable commodity. Where do you get it? Our gospel lesson today is about hope. In Luke 2, we read that Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus made their way to Jerusalem when the time came for the purification rites. You can read Leviticus 12 to learn about this. But after the birth of a son, according to Levitical law, the mother was to touch nothing considered holy and was not permitted to enter the temple sanctuary. On the eighth day, the child was circumcised. But for another 33 days, the mother was still set apart. Finally, on the 40th day, the mother came to the temple to be purified, and this involved presenting offerings to God. The prescribed offering was a lamb. However, those of humble means could substitute two doves or a pigeon, or two pigeons. On the 40th day, in addition to marking the end of Mary's quarantine, the baby Jesus, as a firstborn son, had to be presented to the Lord. So we learn two things about the family that Jesus was born into. First, Mary and Joseph were devout Jews. Second, they were poor. But the most important thing we read in Luke 2 has nothing to do with Mary and Joseph. It has to do with two people who normally wouldn't be noticed because they were old and they were poor and they were weirdly eccentric. Simeon and Anna were the kind of people you might vaguely admire, but you'd never want to trade places with them. Their lives were difficult and tragic. But here's what truly set them apart. They had hope. So often our lives can seem pointless. If we disappeared, who would be the worse for it, ultimately? Time marches on. People adjust. And if anyone was tempted to think his life was pointless, it was Simeon. He was old and apparently alone in this world. But he wasn't bitter. He was excited. He was energized because he had hope. God had promised him something very simple but profound. And God delivered. Simeon's hope was fulfilled. And Anna, you know, people got married in that culture around age 15 or 16. Anna was married for 7 years and then a widow for 60 years. No one else apparently was interested in marrying Anna. So there she lived her life at the bottom rung of the economic ladder, rejected and alone. And yet it says she never left the temple. She worshiped night and day, fasting and giving thanks to God. But you look at Anna and you have to ask, why was she so thankful? What was it with Simeon and Anna? They had hope. Hope that was a gift from God. Hope conveyed to them through the Holy Spirit. Hope that does not disappoint. Read Romans 5. In his time on earth, Jesus gave hope to unlikely people like Simeon and Anna, and unlikely people like us, people whose dreams and expectations have maybe been shattered, people who found their lives disappointing or their desires unfulfilled. Those are the people to whom Jesus gives hope. For example, it was Lazarus, the desperately sick and impoverished beggar. He's the one who found himself in heaven comforted by Abraham, not the rich man. It was Mary Magdalene, the crazy lady, from whom Jesus cast out 7 demons. She's the one who gathered with the other disciples when Jesus rose from the dead. Not some distinguished wife of a member of the Sanhedrin. It was the town prostitute who Jesus pronounced forgiven and accepted by God. Not Simon, the prominent Pharisee. It was the confessed criminal dying on a cross who begged for mercy. He's the one who received forgiveness and life from Jesus. Not Pontius Pilate, the powerful Roman governor of Judea. It was the slimy, self-serving, hated tax collector who saw himself as he really was and cried out for mercy. He's the one who received mercy and forgiveness from God. Not the self-righteous Pharisee. It was the humble centurion. It was the father of the dying girl. It was the despised Samaritan woman. It was the man born blind. It was the bleeding woman, the rejected and dying leper, the man paralyzed and helpless. It was people like us, the guilty, the inadequate, the sinful. Those of us who are secretly ashamed, the desperate. It was people like us who recognize we have nowhere else to turn. We are the kind of people to whom Jesus gives hope. We are the kind of undeserving people who receive real forgiveness in life. And in the end, our hope in Christ will never put us to shame. In fact, our hope in Christ is the only thing that will never disappoint us. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this season when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Redeemer that you sent to save us and give us life, Lord, help us to be filled with hope because that is most appropriate. Help us to give thanks to you for what you have done, to recognize, even to some small degree, the magnitude of your gift to us. Help us to be able to do that. We ask this in His name, in Jesus' name. Amen.